9:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessing. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, very familiar verse of scripture. Won't be here very long, but we certainly pray that the Lord will impart new revelation, deeper understanding in his word. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. It's a 10-word text. And it simply says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. And for a thought, I just want to speak from this topic. With Christ, I can. With Christ, I can. This is a wonderful word that Paul is sharing with the church of Philippi. And it's interesting because he's sharing with them some of the wonderful adventures that he himself has learned and experienced in Christ. He's sharing with them how, as believers who grow in the Lord and are maturing in the Lord, how he has learned in whatsoever state he's in, therewith to be content. That there is a difference between complacency and contentment. Complacency is when you get to the point where you just become lackadaisical, you just become so comfortable that you really don't apply yourself, you really don't do anything to better or to further yourself. You kind of just say, any way the wind blows is cool with me. But contentment is knowing that God is in control. And that as you honor and obey him, there are places and steps and periods in your life where you will be that are uncomfortable and are certainly not where you desire to be. But because you know God is in control, that he's working on something better. And while he's working on something better, he's at the same time working on you. And the contentment is in knowing that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. because I know it's not over, I know it's not finished, and I've discovered that whatever is not fatal or final can still be fruitful. And so when I know this, I discover that there are things that God is doing in the process. See, somebody need to know right now where you are is not where you desire to be, nor is it where God desires you to be, but God has allowed you to be there, and you're scratching your head wondering why you didn't deserve to be here, you didn't do anything to be here, why has things happened in such a way, why have they come apart, fallen loose, and become unfixed, where you're finding your place in a life, in a situation, and a place that is far beyond what you desire, not understanding that God is doing some things in your life that also requires that he does some other things around your life. And so here Paul talks about some things he's learned. He's learned to be abased. He's learned to abound. He's learned to be hungry. He's learned to be full. He's learned how to speak, and he's learned when to be quiet. He's just learned some lessons in life because he's learned that God has got this thing fixed. Every now and then when you enter a situation or you come across a situation where it makes no sense to you, what you've got to realize always is, number one, God is in control. And he's not only in control of it, but he's in control of me. And if he's in control of it and me, then that means that we move at God's command. One of the things that I want you to know again that's important, because when Paul deals with this 13th verse and he gets here and he thanks them for all of that generosity of support for doing the work and helping him do the work of the Lord, etc. He's excited about those things. And he later goes on in the 19th verse, which we all love to quote, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But you got to recognize that he says that because they helped him when he needed it. He didn't just go around making that promise to everybody. That promise was to those who supported him in the work of God, who blessed him and his ministry when he was doing the will of God. And because of that, he wanted them to know that God was going to do the same thing for them and their ministries. But notice here again, this 10-word text is where I'm trying to get to, because so many of us use this out of context. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And just at listening at this, it almost sounds like you can do anything in the world you want to do. Doesn't it? I can do all things. Where is the limit? If you say all means what? All means all. So I want to look at this a little closer, because some of us have failed miserably because they have not understood what he was saying. It's a pronoun, personal pronoun, I. I love this because Paul is using himself. And my brothers and sisters, there's got to come to a point in time in your life where you're willing to take responsibility for your own walk, for your own talk, for your own lifestyle, for your own decisions, for what it is that you are doing. He says, I, personal. It's important to recognize that too many of us miss God hiding behind we or us. And very few of us can say I when it comes to ministry. We must be sure about what it is God's calling us individually to do as well as collectively. Because here's what you're going to discover. He puts a whole lot of eyes that look the same together to do stuff better. Let me help you understand that. He puts folk who don't mind working to work together. And yet there are a lot of people who don't like to work, who want to be in groups where people are working, and they like to be a part of it, but they don't like to do their part. Our churches are filled with people who come in our churches and they don't do their parts. They don't pay their tithes. They don't give offerings. They don't serve in ministries. They don't witness about Jesus. They don't serve in any capacity. They don't do anything that relates to kingdom building, but they say, us church. And they show up when they get a chance. The church doesn't roll on because they're helping it to roll on. They see it roll on and they catch it every now and then. So many of our members in our churches do not take responsibility for the I in ministry. And my brothers and sisters, God's going to hold you for your part. Let me be clear. Let me be honest. Let me be straightforward with you. You're going to have to give account of your stewardship. You can hide in the crowds. You can hide where you want to hide, but one day you're going to have to give an account for what you are doing and for what you aren't doing. And here's the news. You can't blame anybody but yourself. Notice here the next part says, can do. Can do. This is positive projection. Now, one of the things that I love about this is the positive projection that Paul speaks of is wrapped in all of the difficult situations and circumstances he has found himself in and by the grace of God been brought out of. Can do. Positive projection. You see, one of the things that you've got to know is Proverbs 18 and 21 says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. See, when you learn how to talk positive, you begin to speak positive things in the atmosphere. You begin to release positive words that shape your world. No matter how you're feeling now, how you're looking now, how you're doing now, when you begin to speak differently from what you see, differently from what you hear, differently from what you feel, differently from what you know, the reality is your future begins to look like what you say, rather than right now what you see. See, what you've got to realize is that most of what we have now is because of what we've already said. And one of the reasons why we can't get out of what we're still in is because we're still saying what we've always said. And so if we want things to change, we're going to have to speak positively. We're going to have to project positively. We're going to have a positive image in spite of a negative view. See, one of the good things about faith isn't limited to what we see. My faith is not limited to what I can see. We walk by faith, not by eyesight, not by the circumstances that are in our lives, not by the experiences we have, but what we speak. And so a positive projection begins to change. Here's the most important part that you need to realize. That positive projection begins to change you first from the inside. You start feeling better, different. You start feeling like a conqueror even when you're down on the ground because you're speaking the right thing. You're reinforcing the right thing. And all of that is lining up in your favor when you release it. So Paul talks about a positive projection. Tell somebody you got to have positive projection. Listen, you are not limited to what folks say you are. You're limited to what you say you are. You're not limited to what other folks say you can do. You're limited to what you say you can do. And so you've got to learn to be positive. And my brothers and sisters, can I tell you, if you're not positive with you, how do you expect others to be that way? I've seen some of these people in this ministry. I could name them like on my hand, who have walked through some of the most horrific events in life that many of you would have fallen apart through. And you wonder how they kept going. Well, if you're going to encourage yourself in the Lord, you got to say positive things. You got to say what the Lord say. You've got to be able to understand when it looks like you're being defeated. You got to remind yourself when you're outnumbered, this is not my battle. This is the Lord's battle. I'm not fighting the Lord's battle. Come on, Lord, fight your battle. When sickness overtakes your body and you recognize that you have been promised healing as a part of your salvation, when are you going to start saying, wait a minute? Listen, sickness will come because I'm in the world where the enemy has the right to put on me some stuff. But if it doesn't belong to me, I have the right to send it back. If somebody sends a wrong package addressed to my house with my address on it with the wrong name, I have the right to write on that return to sender. Or if it's something I don't want and don't want to open, I can say return to sender. I don't have to accept everything they send me. And so I've got to learn to project positive. What he said is what I want. Not what I feel, not what I see, not what I think, but what he said. Positive projection. Listen, then he says, here it is, all things, present and potential. Now here is where the all things get most of us in a tizzy. And we go try some of these things, man, that, and with all of our heart, we say it and we claim it and we believe it and we do it and we fail. And you say, well, Lord, you said in your word that I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Now listen, yes, he did say that in his word. But that's where 2 Timothy 2:15 comes in. Study to show thyself. Study to show thyself. You see, you got to learn to dig into the scripture and find out the meaning of the scripture for yourself. That was a group of people called the Bereans, and the Bereans, who in that day and time of enlightenment, and they were hearing about Jesus and the Word of God. Listen, they were so fascinated by the preaching of the gospel. When the preacher got through preaching, guess what they did? They started having Bible study. And here was the purpose, to see whether those things were so. Some of you take some stuff that sound good and you run off to the high mountains quoting it and saying it and all the rest of that, and that ain't a bit of what God means in His Word. And when they don't work, you wonder why they don't work. They don't work because they're not the principle or the precept of God. They sound good, but God didn't mean that. And when we take His meaning out of context, He's not under warrant to make it so. Now, what does Paul mean when he says all things? Let me give it to you in a nutshell here, and hopefully, again, it'll answer some issues for why you've tried some things and they didn't work. Maybe it'll help you in understanding when you've given your best and you've failed, why they failed. And here is the answer right here. All things are limited to your calling, your commission, and your connection. See, Paul was talking about all things relative to his calling, all things relative to his commission, and all things relative to the connection of power he had in Christ Jesus. Paul prayed three times that his body would be healed. Here is the question. Did he get healed? No. Some of y'all are scared to answer because you don't know. No, he did not get healed. He did not. But rather, what he was told was God's grace was sufficient. What was it sufficient for Paul? To do everything that he had been called and commissioned and connected to Christ to do. Here it is. His sickness didn't stop nothing. Are y'all hearing me here today? The things he was called to do and commissioned to do and connected to Christ to do had nothing to do with his sickness. With his sickness, he wrote more of the New Testament than any single writer. He traveled more than any single writer had gone and experienced. He did more in ministry work. Listen, with his sickness. So what I'm trying to tell you is, the excuses that we make for having this problem and that problem, what you've got to understand is you can still do all the things he's called you to do because he made sure that sickness wouldn't stop you as long as you're connected to Christ. I hope I'm encouraging somebody that's got the devil's got them thinking, oh, since this didn't happen to me, I won't be able to do this, or this didn't happen, I've gotten this to happen. And No, that ain't got nothing to do with you. God saw all that was going to happen before he called you, before he commissioned you, before he connected you to Christ. And here is the thing, as long as you understand that you are called according to his purpose, you will be able to accomplish everything he has for you to do. When I was first challenged and literally lost my physical sight and could not see anything, darkness for 3 months, had to be led around. Everything had to be done for me, positioned here, etc. I had to reasoned with myself and said, well, Lord, I believe this is about the end of my ministry now. Because there was no way, as much as I knew I needed my sight to do the ministry of God, was I going to be able to continue. And when I was at that point of saying, I'm going to give my resignation so that the church could roll on, God reminded me. You can do all things relative to your calling, your commission. And I think I need to tell you, I'm commissioned to pastor Greater King David Baptist Church and preach to the lost men and women of this world. And I'm connected to the power source that gives me the ability to do it with or without sight. Little did I realize they had so many tools. Matter of fact, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. Not by seeing. And hearing by the word of God.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria.
Those who passed by insulted him. They shook their heads and said, you're going to tear down the temple, you said, player, and build it back up in 3 days. Save yourself. If you're really the truth, if you're really the Son of God, come down from the cross. If you're the truth. If you're the truth, player, then come down from the cross. You said you was going to build the temple, tear it down in 3 days. You claim you're the savior of the world. So now our challenge to you, if you are who you say you are, Mr. Jesus, then come down from the cross. Do me a favor, push five people, try to make him fall and tell him he wouldn't come down. He wouldn't. He wouldn't come down. You may be seated. In the Lord's house, the late Billy Graham, who we lost just a couple of weeks ago, certainly it would be a principled critique to say that he could have said more about civil rights, and I would agree, but no one can deny that millions were saved because of his ministry. It was that same Billy Graham who says, whenever you see the cross and the blood shed and him hanging there, that was God saying to us, I love you. I agree with that. I concur with the late Billy Graham. I love this particular weekend because it bespeaks the idea that Christ loved us enough to give his life on Calvary's cross, that they marched him to the place of a skull called Golgotha. If you don't mind, just indulge me.